Well, it might be good if you turn to Titus chapter 2, and then we'll see what we have for tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are a God of in heaven who loves us. You saw our need of forgiveness and cleansing, and Lord, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, and he died on that cross in our place and took our punishment. Thank you that, Lord, he alone is enough for us to warrant forgiveness of sin if we would turn to him and seek that cleansing through faith. And Lord, we thank you for those who do that. We become your children. What a blessing that is. And Lord, as your children, there are many benefits, not just here, but for eternity. Yet, Lord, there are also responsibilities of being the children of God. And Lord, I pray that as we stop and consider some of those responsibilities tonight, that Father, you will be our teacher, and that Lord, you will be the one at work in us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure you're aware that we're going to be looking at what God's Word has to say in Titus about aged women. Tonight we looked at the aged men, and I was very disappointed. I was hoping those who willingly put themselves into that category would be sitting up the front here where normally the young ladies sit. That would have been just fantastic. But anyway, it didn't work. I was saying to Linda, I'm wondering if they'll do that. Anyway, so we're looking at women. And not the men. They've had their turn. The women. And as I said this morning, every age group has various responsibilities that we can see in God's Word. And so it is only appropriate that we do look at all the various age groups. And so tonight, as we look at the aged women, I'm certainly not going to be suggesting who is in that category. All right? So I'm not that silly. My only suggestion would be that if you're married to an aged man, there's a good possibility that you are in that category as well. All right, so that's probably the best way of working it out. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this as you had a little read, but there is more said about aged women than there is for the men. Now, I don't know if that's because we don't have as much we need to work on, or what it is, but there is a few more verses for the aged women. Now, the truth is, it actually incorporates what God would like to see in the young women as well. And so, even though it says good doctrine for aged women, it does actually look at the young women as well. And so, all of you get a good little slice tonight, if you want to put it that way. I found it interesting, though, that when you look at that, there's only two groups. Young men, aged men. Young women, aged women. So there's no, like, young adults, teenagers, or, you know, and then mid. So you got to work out. You're either a young person or you're an aged person, it seems, in God's Word. But let's have a read at what God says he wants aged women to do. It says there in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so this is what we have as a list of sound doctrine that Titus was to teach in his church. And so if it was important for Titus to teach this in the early days of the church to his congregation, well then I'm sure it's just as important for aged women in our church to hear it as well, considering it is all the Word of God. And so what does God specifically say to the aged women? Well, he says he wants them to act in a holy manner. Do you want to be a holy lady? I trust you do. Doesn't matter if you're a young girl or a young woman or an aged woman. I trust you want to be a holy woman. And so how do you be a holy woman? Well, there's a lot of facets to that. But what we do see here is there is certainly things outwardly that express what's going on the inside of you. And it will be seen by others. And we are given examples of holy living. And so let's go through these things and see what God says is the character of a holy woman, a holy aged woman at that. It first of all says that the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. That's the first thing. A holy woman is not a false accuser of others. The word there means to slander someone. We get the idea of smearing someone's reputation. It's the Greek word diabolos, where we get the devil from. See, one of the characteristics of the devil is he is accuser of others. When we see instances where he's before God, he will talk about how wicked others are and how terrible they are. He likes to smear everyone else. Now, he's got a lot to work on because we are sinners in the sight of God. But that is what the devil does. Yet here we're told, through the inspiration of God, that when it comes to aged women, he doesn't want you to be like that. If you turn over to, please, 1 Timothy chapter 5, we discover that in God's word that this can become a problem. It can become a problem for ladies. It seems to be directed a number of times towards ladies and those of more of an aged set. It says there in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Now I won't explain that. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And that's that idea of smearing and blaspheming in that way. And I'm not going to say too much about this, but I suspect, as we see here, when you are of an older age, maybe retired, you have more time on your hands, you have more time to think, you have more time to talk, and you may get time to be around others, and there is the opportunity when you talk to either speak well of people or to speak unwell of people. My encouragement to you is, understand that God highlights this as a potential problem for the aged women, and be aware of it and make sure it's not for you. When you speak of others, make sure you speak well of them. Make sure you guard yourself so you don't fall into that category. Talked about how when I was growing up, there was that retirement village across the road. And I know I was looking at aged men, but the reality is most of the men had pretty well died by the not long after they get into that retirement village, and there's a lot of aged women, all right, in that retirement village. And they literally would go from house to house, all right? There's so many houses around, and a lot of it was being busybodies and tattletales or whatever it says there, and speaking evil of one another. Be aware that can be a problem. And I encourage you to make sure it's not here in this church, but be that example of someone who speaks well of others instead of being negative. Now, the next thing it says there is not given to much wine. Okay, I find it interesting. It doesn't say anything about the men with that, but it does say something for the women, not given to much wine. Now, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to do probably 2, 3, 4, I haven't finished yet, working out how many messages on alcohol and wine. So I'm not going to touch that tonight. We'll go through that a little bit later on in the next few weeks. And so if we move on, it also then says, teachers of good things. And so the aged women are to be teachers of good things. Now, who are they to teach? It goes on in verse 4, that they may teach the young women. And so, here we see an encouragement from God for the aged women to be teaching the young women in a local church. Now, isn't that an amazing thought? Aged women teaching young women certain things. Not reading a book, not going to ladies your same age, but aged women teaching the young women certain things. Good things, it says there. And here we sort of venture in, and what Paul does when he's explaining it to Titus, tell the aged women to teach the young women these things. And then there are certain things that they ought to be teaching the young women. And the idea here is that it is the responsibility of the aged women, because as aging in the Lord, they've grown in the Lord, they've had that experience in the Lord and allowed the Lord to change them, so they then can be in a position to teach the younger ones. So they then can grow and learn and get to the point where they teach at a certain age as well. And so it goes without saying, these things need to be seen in you first, aged lady, if you expect anyone to listen to you when you teach it to the younger ones as well. But we have a number of things here it says. It says there in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Now, just because it goes after not given too much wine, teach them to be sober, has nothing about alcohol, all right? This is sober-minded. And we looked at that with the men this morning, the aged men. But it is very similar to being discreet, which we look at as we go further on. And so I'm not going to touch that one either. And we're going to move on to where it says there, teach the young lady, the women, to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Now, I don't know if when you read that, if you think that's a little strange, that women need to be taught how to love their husband and their children. Like, doesn't that come naturally? Well, I've been married for quite a while now, and I can certainly understand how women, young women, may need help in how to love their husband, all right? Because often once you get married, you realize how annoying men are, all right? And how frustrating they are, and how immature they are. And yes, I can understand why it does sometimes ladies need help in knowing how to love their husband. And so if you are a young lady, I totally understand if you need help. And what I would encourage you to do is go to the aged women and ask them about that, because they've had a long time learning how to love their annoying husband, all right? Because we are all annoying, I accept that. And so there is help there in the aged women. But having said that, do young women need to be taught how to love their children? That's an interesting concept. I thought it just came natural to love your children. Well, I suspect it comes natural to a degree. But I'm not speaking from experience because I've never been a young mum. All right, but there's no doubt there must be times when it's hard to love those children that are naughty and chucking tantrums and making a mess everywhere and being selfish, and you're feeling very unloved yourself, and it doesn't seem very rewarding in many ways and mundane. And so, yes, sometimes I do think mums need instruction in how to love. What I have noticed over my life is sometimes young mums act in ways where they think they're being loving, but they think they can do things differently the way how God says you ought to do it, and so they're not really being loving at all. Now, I'm not going to express my thoughts on that even further, but sometimes you might be acting a way you think you're loving, but it's not really. And that's where it is good for a young woman to enjoy the encouragement and the teaching of an aged woman. I say enjoy, all right? And I suspect it's going to be much better hearing it from an aged woman who's been through those things than a pastor like me, all right? Now, I know there isn't much more scary than saying something to a mum or a woman when it comes to how she's acting towards her husband or maybe children. You know, I think I'd rather try and steal cubs off a brown bear than try and go and express maybe some concern or teaching. I think it's safer putting your head in a crocodile's mouth than going and expressing these things, because generally you're either going to get your head bitten off or you're going to be left with someone who's a blubbering mess accusing you that you don't love them or care for them because you've said terrible things about them. And so it's very scary, all right? And it's usually due to the fact that women do want to be good mums, and they do want to be a good wife. And so when you have it affirmed that maybe you're not, or you could do better, it's a little bit hurtful, or you don't want to hear it. What I've found is every woman will say that they can love their husband better and they can love their children better, but they don't want anyone else to tell them that, all right? They just want to express it themselves. But let me read a couple of verses from God's Word. It says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Or, Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Can I ask you this simple question? Young ladies or women, can you receive instruction? Well, that is a character of a godly woman, to be able to receive instruction. Can you receive it from the older women when they give instruction? Or do you think that you know better than what they do? Well, this is not how a wise, godly young woman reacts to instruction. I think it's very important to remember that no one feels comfortable giving advice, especially to young wives and mums. No one does that. So if someone loves you enough to actually come and share with you something, be humble enough to receive it, because I have not met one person who enjoys doing that. I've never met one person who thinks, I just can't wait to go and share something with a young woman about what they're doing wrong. Right? I've never met anyone like that. So if someone loves you enough to come in honesty and share something, can I encourage you to be wise, as God's Word says, and receive it. Now, having said this, there are a few ways that the aged women can teach without even saying much or putting that head in the crocodile's mouth, so to speak. Right? There is the area of teaching by example. And that's something for you aged women. Do the young women see your love for your husband and for your children and say, that's the sort of love that I want to have for my family? Do they see that? Well, you can be very sure that the younger women will pick up on things. They will often see things and they will mimic you at times, and they will notice when you criticize your husband, when you make fun of your husband, when you won't submit to your husband. They will notice those things, and they will even use it as an excuse for their own poor behavior when they don't feel very loving. And so one very good way to be a teacher to the young women is to be the example first yourself. Another good way to teach is by encouragement. You know, we all know sometimes young women get discouraged, especially when you have younger children. I'm sure you do, all right? Get frustrated. You may even get depressed. And I'm sure if you're an aged lady who has had children, you know exactly that that's the case. And the last thing a mum wants or needs is an older woman criticizing them, especially to others. All right, that's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is take time to give words of encouragement to the young women in the church. Tell them that they're doing a good job. Find something good that they're doing to tell them they're doing a good job if it's that hard. All right, but find encouraging things. You know, a word of encouragement can do wonders for everybody, especially young women. If the young women here know that you're someone that loves giving encouragement and they find you an encouragement, well then, when it does come time for that word of instruction, they're going to know that, wow, I must really need this because it's not usual. But if you're someone that's very good at dishing out words of instruction and that's all, you'll find they'll dodge you. I don't need any more instruction today. It should be balanced. The words of encouragement and the words of instruction. Now, when I say balanced, it's a bit like this, you know, with a meal. A balanced meal of good food and salt. I don't know the proportions, but it's probably something like 99.5% good food and then that 0.5% salt, you know, just to add a little bit of what is needed. You know, a balanced meal of food and salt isn't 50-50, all right? That sort of wrecked the whole meal. And when it comes to encouragement, words of encouragement and words of instruction, I don't think a balance is 50-50. Use your words of instruction like little sprinkles of salt in amongst all the encouragement. Give encouragement. Help them. And then when it really is needed, give that little sprinkle of instruction. You know, young ladies, I know you like using the aged ladies amongst us as babysitters. And that's a blessing. That's a ministry that the aged women can have. But remember that they can also be very good friends. And aged women, don't be afraid to go visit the young mums and the young ladies, because there is a wealth of blessing to have aged women who are just there as encouragement. And you might find they might ask you some questions along the way as well. And so, if we want a strong church, there needs to be a strong bond between the aged women and the young women.
and there needs to be that teaching. Now, the teaching doesn't end there, though. He says to teach them to love their husbands and to love their children. But then there's a need for other teaching as well, as we see in verse 5. And I think I would encourage you, it would be the same. Teach them by example, and then words of encouragement, and then words of instruction when needed. But it says there, teach them to be discreet. Would you consider yourself a discreet lady? Do you know what it means? Well, a discreet lady is someone who is really self-controlled. It's the same idea there. Self-controlled or temperate, where they're not silly all the time, but they know when to act appropriately. You know, a discreet woman isn't a sour-faced lady who never smiles and grumbles all the time. No, a discreet woman is someone who knows what season of time it is. As Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to laugh, and that's fine. Women should know when to laugh. Then there's a time when to cry, and you should be able to cry. There's a time to be happy and sad and all those things. But what you can find if you're at youth group, not the young people we have now. Oh, all right, they're very good. But in years gone by, maybe years gone by, all right? When we had a lot of young ladies that came from unchurched families, let me put it that way, they were examples of not being discreet, all right? Where it's an appropriate time to sit down and just listen, and they're giggling and they're mucking around and they're talking to one another. That's inappropriate. Or they just were not discreet in any manner. Well, sometimes even young ladies need to be taught how to be discreet. I trust you're at least being an example of that. And the next one there is chaste. And the word chaste there means to be pure or innocent. And what I find very interesting here is whenever the topic of being pure is often talked about in churches particularly, it's always talked about in regards to young ladies, you know, those who are not married. You need to be pure and keep yourself pure for your husband in the future and so on. But notice here that the prime people that are being referred to here are young married ladies with children, because it is already told them that the young women should make sure, be taught how to love their husbands, how to love their children, and it goes on and says how they need to obey their husbands as well. And right in the middle here, it talks about how they also should know how to be pure. And it's very important to understand that when you get married, you still, in God's sight, are meant to be pure. And sadly, for a lot of ladies that I have known at times, where when they get married, all that purity drops in the sense of the topics they talk about to others and the opposite sex. The way they dress, the way they act, there is not that sense of purity about them. You are just as pure in the sight of God as a married lady, or you are expected to be. And so make sure, young women, that your conversations, your dress standards, your actions are in line with a woman who is chaste and holy in the sight of God. Then there's two more that I'll look at. It says, keepers at home. Now, this is an interesting word. It's two Greek words joined together. Now, get this. It's going to be really tricky. You've got to work this out, all right? There's a Greek word called oikos, which means house. All right? And then there's a Greek word called ergon, which means work. You join them together, house, work. Right? Housework. Now, that's a scary subject, all right, in today's society. Now, let's remember here that young women, particularly in view, with children and so on, I find it interesting that the aged women should teach the younger women how to do housework. Now, I don't think it's actually the vacuuming and all that sort of stuff. I don't think that's really what it's referring to. In Titus it says, in Timothy chapter 5, as we read earlier, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house. That is that same idea. Now, I am certainly not going to put myself in the firing line with a lot of angry ladies here of what that's talking about. I have my own personal opinion of what it is, but I probably can't do a real lot of backing up with scripture on that, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut what I think it is. But understand that this is God's word. It's directed to ladies, and it is in the middle of other things that we would say would be characteristic of a holy lady. She will love her husband. She will love her children. She will be discreet. She will be chaste. And then it says, keep her at home. And I don't think you can liquid paper that out and say, oh, I don't like that one. All right, I'll just get rid of that. All right. What I would put to you is, what do you think God is meaning by that? And are you doing that as a aged lady, as a young lady, in the sight of God, one that you have to give an account for? Now, it doesn't say it has to be full-time either. There's a lot of things that could come up here, but that's probably about as much as I'll say there. As you can see, I had a headache all afternoon. I've been scared about this message. Now, the last one is obedient to your husbands. Now, I got a good out for this one. We looked at this when we looked at in Colossians about a month ago, so I don't need to look at that one either, all right? So I've got through all those scary ones. But what we see here is, I'll end with this. This is something that God says he challenges the aged women to teach the young women. So that's a mandate from God. And you young women, you need to realize that that's what God expects. All right? And we see here also that if you want to be a holy woman in the sight of God, there are things that will be seen outwardly that is an expression of your character and your walk with Christ inwardly. And how will it be seen? It'll be seen in that you don't speak evil of others. It'll be seen in your love for your husband and your children. It'll be seen in how you are sober-minded, how you're discreet, how you're chaste, how you are a keeper at home, and how you submit to your husband as well. And I trust that every woman here, regardless of your age, wants to be a holy lady in the sight of God. And these are good things to work on. And if you're not sure how to work on them, I would encourage you to go to one of the aged ladies who you see doing these things and ask them for help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And Lord, in your word, there are things that for our heart that we can just dwell on and be thankful for. And then, Lord, there is those practical things in life that help us to be not just children of yours that are pleasing, but Lord, help us to have a wonderful life and a good home as well. And also a church where, Father, we can be encouraged by one another. And Lord, we just commit these things to you. I pray that, Lord, you will challenge where challenge is needed. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.